With the natural-born instinct of a master showman, Sweet Prophet sensed the sympathetic mood. He interrupted his dissertation and said,
"Tell us your dream, sister."
"I dreamed I was baking 3 apple pies," she said. "And when I took them out the oven and set them on the table to cool, the crusts busted open like 3 explosions, and the whole kitchen was filled with $100 bills."
"My God," a worshiper exclaimed. "Money," another cried. "Money, money, money," others chorused. Even Sweet Prophet looked impressed.
"And did you have faith, sister?"
he asked.
"I have faith,"
Alberta declared.
"Hush up, honey, for Christ's sake,"
Sugar Stonewall warned. But she paid him no attention.
"I have faith," she repeated, "and God didn't fail me. God has set me free."
"Amen," the worshippers chorused with heartfelt earnestness. Upon this note, Sweet Prophet stood and raised his hands for silence. His tremendous bulk was impressive in a bright purple robe lined with yellow silk and trimmed with mink. Beneath it, he wore a black taffeta suit with white piping and silver buttons, his fingernails, untrimmed since he first claimed to have spoken with God, were more than 3 inches in length. They curled like strange talons and were painted different colors. On each finger, he wore a diamond ring. His smooth black face with its big buck teeth and popping eyes was ageless, but his long, grizzly hair, on which he wore a black silk cap, was snow white. Silence descended over the multitude like night.
"I now baptize you, who have seen the glory and hearken to the call, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost," he said.
Sugar Stonewall picked up the basket of lunch Alberta had prepared for the celebration afterward and beat it for the sidelines, and not a moment too soon. At the completion of Sweet Prophet's words, fire hoses at each end of the block, manned by stalwart deacons, were turned on simultaneously. Streams of water shot high into the air and came down upon white-clad figures in a veritable deluge. Drenched by the cold, holy water pouring from heaven, the converts, most of whom were women, were seized by uncontrollable ecstasy. They danced and screamed and shouted and moaned, carried away with emotion, caught up in a mass delirium. They sang and prayed, gasped and strangled in a frenzy of exultation. A buxom woman cried,
"My skin may be black, but my soul ain't got no color. Wash me as white as snow,"
another screamed, tearing off her dress so that the purifying water could wash her naked skin.
"I have faith, didn't I, God?"
Alberta chanted, caught up in the mass hysteria, her transfigured face turned toward heaven. Water flowed unnoticed into her nostrils, almost strangling her.
"I had faith,"
she continued, sputtering,
"and you didn't fail me, God."
Finally, the hoses were turned off, and Sweet Prophet's church band, arranged about the sound truck, began to play hymns in rock and roll time. The drenched, half-drowned converts crowded about the throne of Sweet Prophet to buy breadcrumbs, which he took from the pockets of his robe. They paid from $1 to $20 per crumb. Waving the sheafs of greenbacks he held between his long, twisted, varicolored fingernails, he crooned ardently,
"Faith will reduce the Pacific Ocean to a drop of water. It will change the Rocky Mountains into a grain of sand."
Other persons from among the multitudes of spectators had come to have their infirmities cured by the touch of Sweet Prophet's hand. Hands lifted a crippled child. A paralyzed woman was wheeled forward on a stretcher. A worried-looking man extended an eviction notice. Number slips for that day's play were brushed against the throne. A pair of dice were surreptitiously rubbed against the hem of Sweet Prophet's robe. Alberta Wright found Sugar Stonewall sitting in a crowded doorway. He gave her the bottle of drinking water from the lunch basket and told her to go and have the prophet bless it. She fought her way to the side of the float and held the bottle aloft.